sort of a hobby company called The Boring Company, which started out as a joke, and we decided to make it real, and dig a tunnel under LA, and then dig. Then other people asked us to dig tunnels, and so we
kind of like Adam and Milk,
yes,
wasn't it?
Cases.
Really.
Started
out as a joke and decided to make it real.
Correct.
Because no one is more real.
But I'll tell you what, we're not boring. Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome to Unpleasant. Welcome to we're here with Adam Jastic, intergalactic Adam Jastic, 5-star. Sitting with him is myself, Milk. I have all those other nicknames, but I'm done with them now. I'm going to move on.
The Kanye West of the Southwest Slopes.
Yeah, that one where it's in the past. We've got to move.
Okay, it is.
We've got to look to the future because I was thinking of
upgrading from 5-star up to gold standard.
Gold standard, not bad.
Not bad, but a bit overused.
Gold standard. Adam Jastic.
No, intergalactic.
Intergalactic's pretty
that's
good.
That's really the sort of path I'm on at the moment. That's what I'm into.
Yeah, we're into Space Force.
Space
we're into
Force,
all that kind of rubbish. Yeah,
Tesla.
It's cool to just enjoy.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we've been listening. Welcome to Unpleasant, the show that is unlike a lot of other shows because we're not looking to move up in the entertainment world climbing somebody else's ladder. We're only interested in a direct audience interaction. Like, it's only going to be about the people that like us and not other shows.
Something just a few of us enjoy.
Yeah, that's the best way.
Evidently.
A little pocket. That's all I want is a little pocket of the internet.
People will do anything to be in the inner circle.
Yeah, it's fucking bizarre. And they will. They'll sell out. They'll do whatever. And like the concept of selling out is a weird one. I always got uncomfortable when people were like, oh, Metallica sold out. Like,
it's not very well defined, is it?
Yeah. Because unless you are like a real anti, like, what? I don't know. What is it?
If Morrissey started looking at Maggie Thatcher porn, I would say that's a sellout. I'd say Morrissey.
Yeah.
Oh, not porn, actually. That's a different realm, isn't it? Sexual realm.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you were just looking at upskirts.
Yeah, I guess. If
Elon Musk worked for BP and just went exclusively, like, I'm going to engineer some oil tankers and then they're just designed with leaks. That's selling out.
That's like selling out.
He's the like green dude.
Or if he just invested in coal,
yeah,
all of a sudden, let's mine coal out of Australia.
He just bought everything, all the mines.
Yeah.
That's
okay, man. He sold out.
Yeah,
man, he was on Rogan.
Because he was like, he is the guy. That's why I find it weird for, like, climate change is a weird one. We've talked about that a little bit on here maybe, but it's hard to approach.
Because you know fuck all about it.
Yeah, and I'm sick of people who pretend that they do.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, I've read this article, which is a breakdown of this scientific thing. Okay, what do you know, though? Well, we don't know, so let's just...
Just Google climate change article and see how many results come up on Google.
It's crazy.
It's, yeah.
And the thing is, if you listen to both arguments, both are equally convincing. Like, the scientific models... And then the people who are saying that the scientific models aren't really accurate. So it's like, all right, well, let's just not debate that about climate change or any of that bullshit. Let's just go pollution. That's my stance is, let's minimize pollution and toxic things going out there. Let's all agree on that. We can all get on board. Because I'd rather the people who are arguing about climate change just be like, all right, well, let's still just try and minimize this shit.
Well, I remember, what's his name from Vice?
Shane Smith.
Shane Smith saying, I don't know when climate issues became like a political thing.
Yeah.
Like everyone should just be on the same page when it comes to looking after the planet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a political fucking influence. It shouldn't be an argument politicians use. We should all be just trying to look after
let's
the fucking
just
place as best as we can.
And we need to work on that.
Yeah.
And that's where I find it weird. Like, we've been looking at Elon Musk the last couple of episodes because the weird, like, stigma around him. There's, like, a weird stank around.
Just a hate.
Yeah. Really unwarranted. And there's a... one of the things he smoked, he had one puff on a blunt on the Joe Rogan Experience, and people were
the devil's lettuce,
Gigglebush.
Wow.
And people are upset at him, saying he drug tests his employees. So why is he allowed to go on that? Well, number one, he's the boss. If you, unless you're the boss, you can do whatever the fuck you want. So yeah. Tough shit.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing a guy talking about the two way, like ways of schooling children and things like that. Like the proper way, you know, you get yourself on their level and you bring them. You explain why things, why decisions been made, and they can have an input on it and all that sort of thing. But I saw Michael Malice respond to that and just go, but there is one important lesson to just going, your parent has said, go clean that up. And you don't explain why. And he's like, well, why is it? It's because people in a position of power don't have to do, like, if they've got the power and you don't,
yeah,
they don't have to justify themselves. They're in that position. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Your other option is what?
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah. So is there, like, there is that important lesson in there. So you need a bit of both. But that's it. He is the boss. He's the guy who's in charge. And there's a big difference between...
For a very good reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just... I don't know. It's weird because there are levels, there are steps to these things. And like we were talking about the feasibility, this dude is building... He could build the most successful electric car ever, but it would be so expensive that it would be useless. So he needs to build up to that in consumer, you know what I'm trying to say, like in a way that's consumable at the moment to continue to build up these engines and things.
Which is what they've done. How many models of Teslas are there?
Yeah, they're only like up to
the Tesla X, the Tesla 3.
Yeah, the Model 3 is about to come out. But there are various little, there are little things, but they're all... stepping stones to that final product. And then, so there's a way, and it's like, I don't know, I just saw people getting very upset, and I thought, this is an odd way to approach it. Wouldn't the way be like, hey, let's make sure that these people drug test? Oh, well, the ones that work in the factory, like, it's kind of one of those things.
Exactly what I was going to say. Maybe he's just drug testing people who use expensive engineering mechanical fucking machines to build these things to meet deadlines and stuff. And you can't, I mean, there's government regulations about that thing.
Yeah. It's not like he's the boss who designs every single procedure and work safety thing at that place.
Yeah. And I think if a Tesla engineer went on the Joe Rogan Experience and smoked weed, he'd probably be okay with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's speculation.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
And that's no doubt. Like, I don't see any of this bullshit coming from actual people who work there. It's just people who are upset on other people's behalf.
Yeah.
Just fucking settle down, all right?
Well, Vice have claimed that Elon Musk has just ruined weed for everyone. That's a big claim.
Ruined it.
Ruined it.
Because the guy who looks like Apocalypse from X-Men has had one puff.
Just one marijuana. Is all it takes, though.
That's true.
Remember. So he's had one injection of pot.
Yep.
And what then?
Which, maybe they're right, because weed isn't cool anymore. And I don't know. I don't know if you know this, but weed isn't cool anymore. You know what's fucking cool? Intravenous heroin.
Yeah.
Is fucking sick. Oh, yeah. I've been pushing it on everyone. There's a school up the road. I've been taking it up there.
I've been told I was going. I've been on the glass Harley.
Oh right, taking it for a ride.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the drugs
actually
called.
I didn't
called.
See you for 3 days.
Well, people said, "Do you want to give the glass Harley a ride?" No, fuck it, I'll try everything once. But I couldn't sleep, and I was fucking scrubbing the walls down and everything. I was posting videos on Wagga Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. Fuck.
I've been doing the opposite. I've been just intravenous in my toes.
Good spot.
Heroin right in
there. I mean, you want to keep up appearances.
Just been spewing on myself. Okay. Then I'd get really horny, but I'd be unable to get an erection, so I'd be
You couldn't perform either.
No. So just my vomit would like run down my body. I was in the shower. Just sort of be rubbing like in a circular motion, like how a woman would masturbate her clitoris. But doing that with my cock.
Yeah, you know what? I believe you too, because Laura Jane Grace in her autobiography said that's how she masturbates.
That's a weird thing to talk about in your autobiography,
well,
isn't
it? Well, mate, it's a weird thing to talk about on a podcast too, such as unpleasant. But everyone's on a need-to-know basis these days, aren't they? So we may as well.
Here's how I wank. No, that's... Elon Musk has ruined wheat. What a bunch of fucking losers. All right, so... it's weird to like recap a conversation that we like just had, but
you might remember, those of you that were were with us,
the summary of me and Adam were talking about this just before. Oh, Adam and I. No, it's communication. It's how you hear the words and how your brain processes them, and if you want to, you will understand exactly what we're saying.
The destination is really what you're after, yeah, with the words, isn't,
yeah,
it?
Just, yeah, it is. Because if you start picking little things apart, that's when you go, all right, you're well, insane.
The conversation's over. Yep.
I was a big fan of Flight of the Conchords. I thought it was very funny. I used to get a little upset when people would go, oh, yeah, Flight of the Conchords, what are they going to do? Stand around and act awkward for a while and that's an episode of a show? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's kind of true. But I enjoyed... I thought
cute cardigans.
Yeah,
lovable. Like,
oh, that was just... fucking... Anyway, I used to really enjoy it. I thought it was very funny and I appreciated the music. I thought, hey, these guys are actually... Because they're not normal sort of parody songwriter people. Not songwriters, but you know what I mean? Like, they've just taken something, yeah, and then they've just rewritten it.
Yeah.
In a bad way. So I thought, oh, these are all right. And then it was revealed to me over time that by Adam, by showing me original versions of all of the songs. And they are. They're just, they've changed them in the style of production.
And the lyrics.
But that's it. They're just the same. So I'm like, holy fuck, they're not that funny at all. Like, they're not that, well, not that funny, not that, they're still as funny, but they're less talented overall. And so it changed my opinion. And I went, all right, I can't. This just isn't as good. Because now they're in the same class as Tripod. And
I'd forgotten about great Australian actor Tripod.
See, this is... all right, holy international fuck. Listeners, Tripod is a three-piece... Are you a guest? Yeah, they're a three-piece musical comedy act. Three-piece...
Three men,
three grown men.
Three grown adult men.
And it's like one of them is the weird, like he's skinny, bald, just looks like a freak. And rather than, and he's just embraced it and gone, oh, I'm just like the weird guy in the group. So like they'll be singing a song and then they'll like have a pause in the music where he'll go and speak really quickly. And like, oh, I tried to get through the door, but the door was shut and I slammed my face into it. And then they fucking... And it's so, and you just go, what the fuck is this shit? So that's... Tripod is like... They've been going on for a long time. Man.
And then came an even funnier threesome.
I know exactly the one you're going to...
The Axis of Awesome.
Yeah. And so their like shtick was the like ironically bad... like throwback thing, like we're ironically bad because we think that we're cool.
Yeah.
But it's very obvious, like they're not actually playing.
And they did that thing, that song where it was like three chords and they did about 50 different popular songs. Like they would just play the same chord progression and sing a new, and they'd go, oh, it's the same in all these songs.
We all knew that.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyone who really listens to music understands that it's, there's three notes. No, there's not three. There's, what is there? E, A, D, G, B, F.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And there are variations of that. Like just mathematically,
C.
There's going to be an overlap.
Yeah.
I really took issue with their thing because it's like, do you remember the movie The Wedding Singer? Adam Sandler?
Of course I do.
Oh, maybe I've talked about it on the show before. The Table 9? Have I talked about that?
Oh, God.
I can't remember.
You're asking the wrong bloke.
I apologize if I have, but this is a phenomenon that has just impacted my life. And it's impacted my family even, where... So, during the film, he has a breakdown at a wedding when he's the entertainer there and he's, you know, drunk, he's disheveled, he's singing, swearing in front of the audience.
Classic
that sort of
Adam
thing.
Sandler.
And there's a bunch of people who are just freaks. They are. Do you remember the guy Kevin from Just Shoot Me, the really tall, freakish looking dude. He's also like a comedian. He kind of talks like this when he does things.
Yeah.
He's got big glasses, that kind of shit.
Did he have gigantism or not?
No, nah, just freak.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Just regular
freak. Just regular old textbook freak.
Mm.
Yep.
Which I would refer to as a table nine because he's having a breakdown of these people. He's just like, so there were the weirdos here, and he's referring to it like himself.
Yeah.
And you know, the fat guy over there, and he's a guy who's constantly eating, the lady with the sideburns, and the mutants over at table nine. And you go see them, and they all kind of look up, and they go, huh? And then he talks about how shit it all is, and they go, oh. They all realize, and they look back down.
Yeah.
And table nine is... there's always one. There's always that one group, and you just go, they might be all lovely people. They might have a real lot of intelligence.
Yeah, but
But when they get together, they just look like a group of freaks, and that's just how it is. Like, they're messy. They're disheveled.
We just naturally group and they that make, way, don't we,
too? They make a lot of noise. There's just like... And they'll, like, commit to a character which is deliberate. Like, the joke is that it's bad and it makes everyone uncomfortable. And I just go, no, I just can't deal with this. But that's what the Axis of Awesome seems to be for me. If they were doing it cool, they'd come in as not the Axis of Awesome. They'd actually name it something that would a band. They're trying to let you know, oh, this is a joke. That's the gayest thing ever. That's like having a laugh track. Here's the joke. Here's the joke. Here's the joke. Fuck off. If you're going to be that terrible, like, 80s style thing, name your band Glamour. Something. Glam is a band.
But Glamour?
Yeah. See,
like Glamour. For a hammer?
Yeah, Glamour.
Beautiful.
Would be sick.
Sexualize it.
And then
it.
You've got do your hair.
Phallic symbols.
Commit to the... Like Steel Panther did.
Yeah.
But Steel Panther were a joke band that did it the right way because they knew that they were a joke, but they didn't rely on...
Yeah.
Oh, we're just...
And the crowd still knows it's a joke.
Yeah.
Even though they're presenting themselves as something different.
Yeah.
I mean...
We all know.
We're in on it. You don't need to really, really let us in on it.
And that's what they were doing. It was like the equivalent of a laugh track going along with it.
Yeah.
And I like... So the laugh track's interesting because originally it was used... Like they'd film it in front of an audience... And then they just sort of edit it together. And then it turned into, we'll film it, we'll do a rough cut, and then they'll show it to an audience, and then they record that laugh, and then they put that over the top of the show, and then they put it out there. And the reason that they did that is a laugh, it's like when you're standing in a... Have you ever just been in a group of four or more people and somebody has said something and you haven't really got the joke? It's a reference to something that they all are in on, but you're not. And you kind of just go, you kind of politely laugh along just so that you're not the obvious one standing out. Like, that's what, unless you're a psycho, that's sort of what you unless do just unpleasant. To go, I just don't want to cause a scene. So I'm just going to, no. Because otherwise you're the guy who's just fucking standing there just being miserable. A laugh track is employing that same sort of vibe to make it easier for you. Oh, this is the joke part, so now you laugh along.
Mm.
And it just softens it a little bit. And I think that's where TV and everything got skewed in the wrong direction for me because it softened the blows too much because now you can't just enjoy harsh jokes because you go, oh, maybe they're not joking. It's in a comedy show. Of course, it's a fucking joke.
Yeah. With the Axis of Awesome thing too, they're doing it that way so then the crowd is in on the joke. If the crowd's in on it with you, then who are you performing to? Like, who are you entertaining?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, Axis of Awesome, it's a little bit, you know, we're only joking. We don't really think we're awesome in that. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, go on then. Do your show.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. Well, then...
Yeah, that's right.
But
that's
if you're true. In on the joke already, then it's not really... Yeah. There's no point.
Like...
it's not like you're playing to aliens. Look, we'll call ourselves the Axis of Awesome.
Yeah.
You guys know that we're just playing around with these guys.
And then we'd be laughing. It's Borat.
Yeah.
You're being Borat, but the audience knows, but the other people don't. But it would be like if he went, my name is Borat. So I'm just pretending that I'm from
Kaz.
Yeah.
I'm actually just a wealthy British comedian.
Yeah.
But so, you ready? No.
I love it when people try to politicize like the whole Borat thing.
Mm.
Well, I guess it may be a little bit political when he did the "This is America" and he's doing that thing. But I'm like, you know that through a certain scope, through a certain lens, you can just go, oh, this is a guy and it's funny because he's from a country none of us have heard of and he's speaking and his confusion is funny to us.
Yeah.
Like that's what some of the jokes are, whether you want to acknowledge it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
So like
when Borat was – I watched an episode of the Ali G show like last week, watched a couple of episodes of it. And that Borat, when he was wine tasting, and they were trying to show him how to hold the glass of wine, and he kept reaching for like the wrong glass, and like there's nothing political about that.
No,
that's just him annoying some old American men.
Yeah.
And we're loving it because it worked on Fawlty Towers.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's gone. Whatever I was going to say. What were you talking about? We're talking about Borat. We're talking about. Force. Oh, that's it. Being in on the joke and like the dropped it. Being on the axis of awesome is, and yeah, just including. So if you're in on the joke, so you need to be. So maybe that is a joke, is that we're laughing at the people who are fans of that.
Yeah.
You know what? Next episode we do with a computer, we should go to the axis of awesome like page and see who's fans.
Well, you remember? Yes, that's a good idea. And you also remember a little bit of, not really off topic. The Axis of Awesome singer or whatever, now transgender.
Ah, yep.
That was the big, so like America had Laura Jane Grace and Kris Jenner, whatever, is that his name?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Australia had Axis of Awesome lead singer.
Very convincing too, as a woman.
Not as a comedian. He's the guy who was in that show, well, she's the guy who was in that show. Who was going, you know, it's not pastas, it's potatoes.
Yeah, the Ronnie John's half hour.
Yeah. Fuck, if you said, Adam, I'll give you fucking every cent in my bank account if you remember the name of that show, I wouldn't have remembered.
It wouldn't surprise me if that that other cunt on there is still doing Chopper.
Still tours it regionally. Still makes, I suppose he makes some money from doing regional shows dressed as Chopper with fucking... texture on his arms.
I hope he really commits to the character and gets liver cancer.
And gets stabbed 18 times in the stomach.
Now, I laughed. I did. I enjoyed it those first few times.
When we're in high school, yeah, absolutely.
And then, I don't know, it's something you just got to go, oh, you can't just keep committing to that.
No.
You can't
just go, well, this one thing sort of worked for me, so I guess I'll just do this for as long as
hammer
possible.
It to death. Fucking hell.
Can't enjoy it.
See,
imagine being like, oh, I remember you were on that fucking show. So what are you doing in Wagga? Oh, I just got a show at the Civic Theatre tonight, just a one-man show. Oh, yeah. New jokes and sort of new characters. Nah, just remember when I did Chopper? Oh, yeah, I remember you did
that.
Yeah,
you did that for like 3-4 minutes on like 6 episodes of a show?
Yeah, you used to do it near the end of the show, realised it was really popular, and then saved it for the very last scene of the show. And yeah, that's great. Chopper's dead, and I don't think the act is funny anymore. I don't think we've had our Chopper fill. We've fucking had it. How many books did he write? He was on TV every fucking second week.
Even did a radio bit where you spent a night in jail with Chopper in the Melbourne jail.
Fucking who would want to do that? He wrote a rap album. He was on a rap album.
See, that's what this is. These are just guys who are just money hungry. Like we see
boring.
We see the good parts because that's all that we pay attention to. But we don't realize that there's like 16 other things here, which all just fucking suck,
and that they're just pushing out, and people are still buying it. People still like it.
Chopper. It's a real shame.
It is.
With again, Axis of Awesome thing. So I want to bring up Andy Kaufman from the 80s when he got really popular and people would come to his shows and he was just like, fuck this.
Yeah.
So people would show up to a show and he'd just read The Great Gatsby until the audience left. Just read it.
Yeah.
Which the audience isn't in on. That's
exactly.
The joke is in the story of this is what happened and everyone laughs at that.
Yeah.
Because that's fucking funny.
But if they knew that was a part of his act and that he was going to put the book down after 10 pages and then start.
Yeah, it's not.
What is it? It's Steve Martin and that other and Martin Short.
Yeah.
That's what it
we
is.
We saw that part. They do a special together. Myself and Adam Jastic tried to watch a few minutes of that. It was too much. So we turned it off. And then we watched 6 hours of gay porn to just cleanse our souls a little bit.
It's like eating celery after a few meats.
Yeah.
Just a nice palate cleanser, a bit of gay pornography.
Yeah, just to really... Because that brought us back, and then we could watch straight porn after that.
In our respective bedrooms.
So six hours of gay, 3 hours of straight, a few hours sleep, and then we're good to go.
Exactly.
That's how everyone should end the week. If you're a fan of Unpleasant, this is how your Saturday night should go. Heroin injection, 2 minutes of Steve Martin and Martin Short. Yeah, I don't know. 2 minutes is a bit much. If you feel
you got to do it.
If you want to drop it down, do 90 seconds, do 60.
You got to work up to two.
But and then a nice 6 hour try a compilation, you know, where they just have all the compilation of all the cum shots. Yeah, just gay compilation, 6 hours. And then.
Hard to get a rhythm, though, in a compilation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hard to get a rhythm. If you're going 6 hours, you need a bit of plot.
Oh yeah, maybe start with one of those. Get yourself really in the mood.
Yeah,
and
that's
then,
right.
Then just put on like a Pornhub like mix or something like
try
that.
Try and identify a sort of a, I don't know, a vibe that you want.
Mm.
You know,
and then move on to straight porn.
Yep.
Or if you are a gay listener,
other way around.
Yeah, you're doing the other. Yeah,
yeah.
Because this isn't about your sexual satisfaction. It's about making sure all of those. Electrons, all of those things are out of your body that have come in through that heroin and Steve Martin.
It's about finding a baseline.
And that's how you do it.
And then, like, you know, at the end of the night, maybe 15, 20 minutes, no one will judge you if you watch a bit of transgender porn.
Yeah, that's fine. That can be put in there.
I don't mind if you give me a case of porn DVDs and there's 7 transgender DVDs in there. I don't mind. I don't judge. All right? As a teenager,
I think it was porn that saved the idea of like trans people from just being like thrown out of the general public like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
because you know how like they talk about how porn was the reason VHS won over Betamax, which was when the two competing formats came out.
What the fuck is Betamax?
Exactly. Exactly. It fucking died.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember, what is it, Ultraviolet or HD DVD, whatever it was called?
Oh, yeah.
And that was the competition for Blu-ray?
Mm.
Whoever's the porn, that's the predictor that they talk about. I don't know how real it is. That's just a thing people say.
Yeah.
They say that porn, all the porn companies signed with VHS rather than Betamax kills Betamax. Yeah. Doesn't matter what anyone else, that's what people are going to spend their money on.
Yeah.
Blu-ray and HD DVD or Ultraviolet, whatever it was, Blu-ray won out.
Yeah.
Now, I think if we apply that to just general sort of popularity or not popular, you know, what's accepted, more people are like, oh, yeah, she-males.
Yeah.
And then they're slowly introduced to the idea of like, oh, no, we think this person is just a female. Like, it's just better with just that way. We're more open to that because of porn.
Yeah, because you can sexualize it.
Yeah.
But people sexualize shit too.
That is true.
Shit and piss and octopuses.
I don't hang out with them though.
No, fuck no. Oh, maybe we do.
No, not with shits, I mean. I don't go hang out with shits. Although I do like to think that whenever there's somebody who really annoys me on any sort of talk show or anything and I see like a few clips of it.
Mm.
Watch a few minutes and I'm like, oh yeah, they might be right about a lot of things, but I would never hang out with that person. I don't reckon they have friends.
Mm.
The way that they're behaving, the way that they talk and
they
act.
Shouldn't.
I just go, no, I don't think I'd. And all the people who are like dressed in their suits, pretending that they're really skilled and intelligent journalists talking to them. Like, oh yes, we really care about your issue. Fuck off. Not only would you not hang out with that person, you're going to forget about this in 3 minutes.
I really care about this issue, but not as much as I care about my editor's demands so I can get paid still.
Yeah, not as much as I care about my $250,000 a year.
Exactly.
To just show up and sort of be... Like, granted, they would have had to deal with a lot of shit to get there.
And
but yeah. that's their choice. They made that choice to pursue that rubbish.
Exactly. Yep.
Oh, I did have something I fucking forget.
I think I did too. While you're looking, I'll look. This will be great for the listeners. Oh. Fantastic. I took a screenshot of something. Oh, yes. Now, this, I'll just chuck this out there. It's just a quick little thing. And it was, so, Milk brought up a while ago that he was keeping an eye on Ricky Gervais. And Milk's a big Ricky Gervais fan, and I'm a huge Ricky Gervais fan. I've just adored his comedy, really thought it was something different. But he's a bit of a lonely wanker, isn't he?
I hope this is what I think it is. You, because yeah? I have something as well related to Gervais.
Mr. Gervais, wow. Who would have thought we would have ended up on the Steve Merchant train when the dust settled?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, he's great. Like, I didn't watch his show. I didn't watch his fucking stand-up thing. But he is now... He was in that movie Logan.
Yeah.
And he was actually good. I like him.
So, here we go. Now, we all love dogs. Most of us. Unless you're a serial killer. I think that's established, really. Unless you're allergic or, like, you have severe dog-related anxiety or you're a serial killer.
Yeah, like, I mean, we've talked about this before. When I was single and I had Tinder, like, and I've talked to other guys about this too.
Yeah.
Every girl is like, must love dogs. They all have that on their thing. And I was just like, this is psycho.
That's an easy box to tick.
Yeah. The fuck is going, yeah, I fucking want to just mouth fuck some dogs until they're dead. I want to make that dog bleed out its ass and pull its little red cock off. It's not going to fucking... No one does that.
Nah. And on top of just generally liking dogs, even a larger amount of people don't want to see horrific things happen to dogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
At worst, most people just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, at worst. And they're
a very small amount, which are
so
into hate.
So, obviously, this is about a dog that was used as a lab dog, a testing dog. That's... Just think
about...
You
mean a Labrador.
Just think, 2 years, this dog's living in a laboratory getting tested. It's got PTSD. I don't know how you exactly diagnose that in a dog. I'm sure there's physical tests. You can measure that. So that's terrible. Brave beagle with PTSD after 2 terrifying years as a lab dog to be... All right, so that's okay. I'm with it. That sounds terrible. The dog's alive. I guess it's got a good life. To be honored at Animal Hero Awards. And I saw that and I'm like, that's just an award show for adults, like for human beings. Because no dog understands that concept, doesn't give a fuck, will be there because you've taken it there. But all these people like Gervais and other rich people are going to get dressed up and turn up and just pretend it's a night for the dogs. But
you know what it is? It's that top level. Like you said, that top level, they're all going to get dressed up. It's the elite. And then there is the poor right down the bottom. And all of us in between don't give a fuck. But there are the poor scabs who are going to watch that going, I fucking love dogs. They're great. And oh, really? That's why you got 3 in your backyard and you fucking don't know how to... You didn't Google it. You didn't Google how to train a dog before you fucking bought one. You stupid cunt. Anyway, no, that's fucked up.
It is.
So this is a thing.
I just look at the picture before you go on.
Oh, fuck. What a cunt.
What are you seeing there?
I'm seeing a fat-titted loser with his arm around a dog wearing a big scarf.
And Ricky, he's also wearing sunnies.
Oh, yeah. So I've got a thing, and this is where... this was a turning point for me. This is where I changed my mind very drastically on something because I guess I had a vague idea, but it wasn't really formed until somebody asked the question, do you value human lives over animal lives? And
classic philosophy.
Most people go, oh, it depends on the thing. And no. As a general rule, human life over animal life 100% of the time. As a general rule.
And we do pretty much live by that.
Yeah, whether you like it or not, that's what we do.
All of us.
And people who say, oh, but some people are bad. Yeah, I agree. I know. But we're not really talking about that. But as a general rule, we need to look at it like that. And my stance is I have fucking ankylosing spondylitis. Like my spine is slowly trying to just bend over on itself. I have Crohn's disease. My intestines inflame and just will fuck me up. They'll twist and kill me if it gets too bad.
And you had to get your foreskin cut off as an adult.
Yeah, but maybe there was foreskin surgery on animals to help that. But my point is that the medicines that I take and the medicines of the future are dependent on animal testing. For right or wrong, that is the truth of it. And so when somebody's like, oh, no, animal testing, I've got to go, what do you expect me to say? Mm. Yeah, you're right. I deserve to be, I'm sorry, but I've got to look at myself as more important and humans.
What about animals or poor people? The street person.
Like street person as in?
Just homeless.
Homeless.
Poor. Will happily do it for money. You all right with that over a dog, you reckon? I don't know though,
because that's where we're talking about like testing. Like, are they being told about this? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
They're signing up.
So, they're fine. Look, we can either test, this might help something.
Yeah.
We can either test it on dogs or we can pay you some money to test it, but we just can't know what might happen to you.
Hmm.
I mean,
who depends on who they're.
There'd be someone stopping that, wouldn't there?
Probably, yeah. Because that's it. Like, what's the. You can go, oh, but if they consent to it, yeah, but people then get into the muddy argument of what is a person in dire need actually consent?
And people like, consent anal sex in, well, they don't really consent anal sex in prison, but I'm sure there are some that do, who just go, yes, I will fuck you.
Or, yeah,
but they wouldn't that, but outside what, of prison, would
that's
they?
That's it, yeah. That's where the water gets muddy. But I don't know.
Prison
I
just logic.
I just get like... what the fuck with some people. But that's where I see with Gervais with these things where he celebrates the death when somebody gets gored to death by a bull. Yeah. And that's a standard thing. People go, oh yeah, good. He deserved that. And I'm like, fuck man, that's a person. That guy had parents. Like it might suck what he was doing. I don't like bullfighting. I don't like what they do either.
Yeah, I don't like animals getting stabbed and fucking cut up and bleeding out.
But I can't go, yeah, that guy deserved to die for it.
Yeah. It's just a bit of a weird thing that happens.
And yeah.
Those are the consequences of that thing.
Yeah. I'm just not going to celebrate the death.
I'm going to have a party.
That's...
Yeah. It's the same reason...
if you're trying to be a humanitarian. If you don't give a fuck, don't give a fuck.
Yeah. You were saying the other day you think it's really funny when people spit in their house in disgust at the idea of something. So if somebody said, somebody brought up a name and somebody in the house just went, fuck that person and spits in their own house, it's not something I'd really do. But I think I would do it at the mention of like a pedophile. So where we grew up, there have been outed pedophiles. And I've really thought to myself, if I saw them in public, probably 99 times out of 100, just wouldn't say a thing. But just depending on the day and stuff, I'd be that close to saying, fuck you, you fucking dirty cunt. Like, I'd spit on them, maybe. Mm. It could happen. But I still wouldn't want them to be just castrated and hung in front of people and tortured for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know? I'm not...
I mean, I wouldn't...
If there was... if there was something to happen where it was... Oh, this person is now sentenced to the rest of their life in jail. I'm neither celebrating nor feeling sympathy. I'm just going, well, that seems to be the right move.
Yeah, it's all a shame, though. You just... Either way, it's...
But spitting on the floor in your own house, like...
Oh, I like it, actually.
It's funny as.
Yeah.
Because the thing that made me think of it, I think it was in a movie.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, the cops would come in, and he's like, and these women would spit on the floor in their own house. And I'm just like, that's fucking badass.
Yeah, it is. Imagine being so disgusted by something that you're just willing to spit at the idea in your own property.
And 2 hours later, you're on your knees just as angry, scrubbing the floor. Going, you fucking filthy pig cunts.
I feel like it could be an Italian thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Like an Italian-American even more so.
I'd see Italians, old Greek people as well.
They'd spit anywhere but their concrete driveways.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful concrete driveways.
It's weird. Greek people really do enjoy concrete a lot.
They love pouring it. They love watering it down. They love standing on it and talking to people walking past.
Though, when you think about it, it is pretty important. Like good concrete does last a long time. Yeah. And where would we be without it?
living in mud houses.
Yeah, we'd be fucked. Man, you were over in Italy. You saw like the concrete that they used on most of the, like, we can't make concrete as strong as they did.
Mm.
And we don't know why. We still don't know why. There's a reason. Like, ours will degrade like by half its strength in like 100 years or something like that. There's shit that's been up for thousands of years.
And their seasons are pretty extreme. Like, summer's hot as fuck and winter is freezing cold. So, I mean, it's going through...
Yeah.
It's going through all these changes year round for thousands of years.
And it's just withstood that.
I'd like
that.
To know why. I'd like to know the differences.
There's theories that there's like a plant that's now extinct that they may have ground up and added into the mix or something to do with like a volcanic materials that they mined. But nobody actually knows. We don't know. Yeah. Because that would change everything for our building purposes because we build for very short term right now.
Mm.
And if we suddenly had a way that would build things from, you know, much longer time.
Mm.
Oh.
Especially with natural resource. If it was just a plant you could grind up or something you could mine without damaging other things.
Imagine if the secret to it was just blunts that have been smoked by Elon Musk. He just had to get high as fuck every day just ash blunts.
That'd be akin to torture for his brain. Wouldn't it?
It probably would, yeah.
Yeah.
He said how he doesn't like meditating.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, oh, not really.
And he wouldn't really want to get in the flotation tank.
Yeah.
And DDP said the same thing.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, can I get out? Can I open it? Joe's like, yeah, you can open it. He's like, oh, good. Well, I'll give it a try. But I don't know who these dudes have got so many things worked out, but the thought of being alone with their thoughts... It's terrifying for them.
Yeah.
Whereas I've really embraced the idea. I don't know. Maybe you can only have one or the other.
Maybe. Because like I was into the idea of a sensory deprivation tank and just getting in there.
Yeah.
But now, like I tried to go, but it was booked out in Melbourne a couple of years ago when I tried.
Yeah.
And I haven't really felt the urge to since. I've kind of thought,
if it was more available, you might. But maybe. I mean, it's a bit of a thing.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it's like a... Like Elon Musk handles himself as like a man with a mission. Like he's just got, he just loves making shit, being productive and doing
just
all that.
Just always on.
So I think any time that he spent there, he'd be like, I'm not doing my thing that I meant to be doing.
But I mean, 10 minutes, it could be so beneficial.
Yeah.
Or it could just send him off over the edge.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I wonder what he's, he said he was freaking out like when he was like 6 years old. Thinking that
the people just weren't like him. Their brains didn't work like him.
Yeah, just different
ideas all the time. And like I said, I don't envy him.
No, fuck no.
I don't envy his role.
I'm glad he exists.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Actually, speaking of that interview, Joe Rogan, Adam and Milk superfan, he messages me all the time.
I'm sick. I had to block him on Twitter.
Yeah,
too many DMs. I fucking never look at my DMs.
It's always of his bald head too. That's the weirdest
always
part.
A close-up of his big bald. Do you think my head looks weird, Adam? No, for fuck's sake, I told you.
It's fine, Joe.
I'm not coming on the show. I'm fucking busy, are we?
Oh, that's funny.
We could go on the Joe Rogan Experience. It'd be weird.
I'd say no.
You'd say no.
Fucking oath. Imagine being the dude who said no.
And yeah, then you're right.
Taking a screenshot of that, showing your audience, going, look at this, Joe Rogan wants me to go on his show. Fuck
that. Joe Rogan's fucking fallen from grace. Look at this, he's hit rock bottom.
See, that's right. That's funny. Yeah, that's way funnier.
And that's how you create something outside the bubble.
Yeah, because people who want to be on that then have to like play by those sort of rules.
Yeah. I wish they could do the formalities outside of the show. Like, oh, you inspire me so much and I love the podcast and stuff and I've always wanted to do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's something for you and Joe to talk about.
Yeah. It's that's it. It's too big now. And Joe's like there's a moment where Joe turned because he realized how popular his show was.
Yeah.
When he used to talk to Eddie Bravo and when Eddie Bravo would go off about some crazy shit because he's Eddie Bravo and Joe would ask him questions and simmer him down and... You know, it was entertaining. And then he got so much shit from people online for having Eddie Bravo in there.
Yeah.
And talking shit that Joe at the very next time Eddie Bravo's on, he started talking, and Joe's just like, "Look, man, you just can't say these things." And he like really appealed to him, and I'm like, "You wouldn't have done. You only did that because so many people are into your ear about it."
Yeah, exactly.
You've now changed your behavior for the show, but that's in a negative way. Like, you're treading on this guy's. This it's interesting. It's great listening to that. Why can't we listen to guys who are wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Which is unusual because Joe really paints himself as someone who doesn't read Facebook comments and Twitter replies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, he does, though. He has to, because
the effect is there.
Real world changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very bizarre. So, you had that Gervais thing.
Yep.
I had another one, which is, so he's got a cat. And that cat has its own Twitter.
Oh, no.
So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt now. So the Adam and Milk thing to do would be to just pretend that it's all him.
Yeah.
We're going to turn a blind. We're going to do the right thing. Adam and Milk are going to step up to upper management. We're going to step up to the corporation.
Corporate Adam and Milk.
And just as people are going to go, all right, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt because we like him a lot. We have liked him. We've enjoyed him. And say that he's girlfriend or wife or whatever runs the account, but that, you know, uploading photos, I've been helping my mum tidy stuff away on shelves, and just a photo of the cat on there, that's a fucking weird, like, we need to really put it in perspective. If you lived on a street and you just had some friendly people lived up the road and you're like, "Hey, how are you? Oh yeah, my name's Rick, and oh yeah, nice to meet you, mate. Oh yeah, this is my girlfriend." And you go, "Okay, now yeah, you're in your mid-50s, that's fine. You do what you need to do, man. That's cool. Hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. This is good. Oh yeah, this is our cat. Oh, cool. Yeah, good, you guys got a cat. So you no kids? No kids. Oh, that's fine. Well, yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah, times have changed, you know.
You go home, you're like, they were nice people. He was pretty switched on, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, they were nice. Successful. We should follow them on
Twitter.
They've got an account for their cat. Okay, fuck that. They are weirdos.
Yeah.
They fuck people who visit their house on the regular, I'd assume, because what are you doing at that age? If I don't know what else you're doing with your time.
Swinging.
Yeah. I just assume anyone who's like a weirdo, well, it's fine to be a weirdo, but past a certain point, you just start to look sexually suspicious. And when you're in your like mid-50s and stuff like that, I just go, nah, you're doing something. You're doing something a little bit out.
They're out of touch.
Yeah.
That's the clearest thing for me.
And I am very, very sexist because for Ricky Gervais to run that Twitter account for his cat, unacceptable. For his whatever that woman is, for her to run it, it's okay.
For his, yeah.
Because women have a diminished brain capacity. And so...
No, it's a smaller brain.
Yeah.
It's physically smaller and unable to hold the same weight of intellect.
I thought it was like it got big, but then it like got smaller and smaller as it sort of went
that's
on.
That's the vulva you're thinking of. Yeah,
very inflamed.
We learned these things, mate.
Yeah, that's true. That's
from our pedophile school teacher in primary school. Okay, that's not a joke. That's not a joke for the audience. That's true. Okay.
Hey, man, he taught at your school.
Oh yeah, you went to a Catholic school. Faggot.
Oh yeah, I was a bit upset whether I was. Nah, that's a bit of a hack bit. I think actually saying that I'm upset that I didn't get molested.
Weird, isn't it? You got all the boring aspects of Catholic school, and I got the best parts. While I got to go to a public school.
Yeah. Yeah, pedophiles, you got all the freedom.
I got all the freedom plus the fiddling, but without any... Ah!
Howdy, mate.
That's shame.
You just scared the fuck out of Adam.
I didn't know where it was coming from. I didn't know if it was just my headphones or what.
All right.
What's going on?
I'll go get a burger.
Can you get me a burger?
Yep.
Oh, fuck yeah. Chicken burger? Thanks, boss. Chicken thigh burger?
Fuck yeah.
And then come back. Right, hey.
All right, cool.
Scared the fuck out of me, so. We were talking about fiddling. That's a pretty safe bet at any point in this show.
It really just comes up all the time. Anyway.
Well, that was true stories, though. That wasn't comedy.
There's a lot of pedos there. Do you remember those little, what were those yellow signs that they used to put in houses when we were growing up?
They were just like safe houses.
Yeah, safe little things. Yeah. This was, I don't remember how it ended. I just remember, I just remember walking home and, you know, you'd see these little yellow signs, like little yellow triangle signs in windows, and somebody told me, oh, yeah, that's like a safe place, like if you're worried or whatever, or if you think, you know, you're lost,
you can just go in that house. You can go,
those people, they're the good ones. And then they just went away.
Yeah.
And then I asked years later about that, and they shut that down. A whole bunch of pedos just were making those signs.
Yeah, it's just going down to the council chambers. Yes, I'd like to register my house as a safe zone for scared children.
They were counterfeit signs too, so they weren't even the ones registered.
Presumably, you just get stickers anywhere.
Yeah, which is like, imagine when they introduced that. This is why you need normal people. You need people who are a bit fucked up, people with a bit of a sense of humour in on these decisions.
Yeah,
because we'll just go, well, what about the pedos? Yeah, we're going to do, like,
surely that's the elephant. There's always an elephant in the room with these kind of proposals. You just need someone there to be able to go, right, why is no one talking about the fact that pedophiles might sign up there?
What's, this is home delivery for pedos.
Yeah, don't have to fucking lift a finger.
Yeah, no stalking.
No fake profiles on social media.
Just sitting at home watching an old VHS of Die Hard and then, little soft knock on the door. Oh, you're a bit worried? Come in here, little one. Oh, fuck yeah. Ready to go.
I went around to a bloke's house once with a couple of mates. Now, one of our other... I knew who the bloke was. I didn't know them. I'd never spoken a word to him. One of our mates knew him reasonably well. Well, knew his son anyway. He was friends with his son. We went around to his house because we thought he would have alcohol that he would give us. And it worked. We went over there and had a few Guinnesses and stuff. And he was just sitting there, not with the TV off, just sort of in his lounge room. And we're like, he's like, put some TV on or something. But his Foxtel wasn't working for some reason. And he's like, I haven't been able to get it to work and whatever. And one of the friends I was with fixed it. And he was like, oh, sweet. I was like, why didn't you call up and get a technician? And he was like, oh, I was just waiting for some young, able men to come around and fix it for me. But it happened. I don't know. Did he pray? Like, did he just put it out there in the universe? Please, God, send some young men around randomly to fix this fucking television.
If he had that kind of power, it would have been used on something else.
Wouldn't be to fix his old stuff.
So, not a molestation story?
No, it was just it was a possible, there was strength in numbers, really, so.
So, you molested him? Sometimes you got to fire with fire.
Yeah, exactly. We molested his fridge. That was the worst I've ever done, though.
we had the Gervais thing running an account for his cat. That's fucking weird. It's just, I can't stress how weird that is.
It's not on. Just because you can do anything doesn't mean you should.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about how weird, like, GoFundMe and Kickstarter and all those sorts of campaign things are? People with their money out and how...
Crowdfunding.
It's just people.
Yeah.
And their names attached, so there's, like, a status thing as well. Oh, look what I'm giving. I'm helping all these people.
Yeah.
It began as a heartwarming story, but the homeless man now claims the couple withheld most of the money and spent it on vacations, gambling, and a luxury car. Couple accused of squandering $560,000 raised on GoFundMe for homeless vet.
Yeah. See, what has happened there, I don't know anything about that story, but here's my guess. They heard about it and were genuinely moved and thought, we can actually help this fucking dude and we can do something good and people will love us and stuff. And they say, all right, we'll go, $4,000. We'll get $4,000. It went viral and took off. Suddenly they got $560,000 and they've gone, this fucking homeless cunt doesn't need that much. We'll slip in $4,000 and the rest of it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, surely that's ours, isn't it?
And as if that's going to fix the problem. Like,
yeah.
People like to imagine homelessness as this thing that just happens and these people just need a little...
Just one pick-me-up.
Yeah,
just a little step up, yeah, a little wedge.
There's a lot of barriers that you've got to...
There's root issues.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to break through a lot of things to get to that level. And granted, that might be the case for some, but it's very rare. Yeah. Same, the golden voice, do you remember that guy, the homeless guy with that voice? And as soon as they raised all that money, we talked about it. We were just like... He's going to be homeless again in a week. What the fuck are you people doing? What do you
exactly.
think? And spend it all on drugs and all that sort of, what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't fucking get it. People who just want reality to bend to their will.
Yeah.
Sorry, they want reality to bend to their will and they're not willing to, but their basis of reality isn't based on...
What happens.
Yeah, it's not based on experience. It's not based on observations of reality, tangible reality, what is happening. These people don't... It doesn't happen.
Go on.
I got into a small disagreement with a friend of mine recently about... So he brought up the term... have you heard of this? These meetings for people? And they called self-made millionaires or billionaires, whatever it was. And he like rolled his eyes at me. And I'm like... What the fuck are you talking about? He's just like, oh, they call themselves, they all had like help to get them started and all that sort of thing. And I'm like, all right, that's interesting. But we all, as a general thing, accept that people who have won the lottery, like there's that documentary on people who won the lottery and so many of them just lost it all and ended up with less than before.
Yeah.
They just lost it all.
They never won it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So either keeping a lot of money is... hard and is genuinely hard, or all of those people are fucking idiots. So which one?
Yeah.
And he's just like, I got to think about that. And I'm like, well, man, like you can't.
You do have to. The thinking should have been done already.
Yeah. Why is it? This is that thing we were talking about. Like there's just this weird distrust of people with money, which is fine to have. You can have that as an individual thing, but you can't just go, oh, these people, look at them. Disgusting.
Yeah. Successful.
So hang on, it's
greedy.
Why are you working? Why are you trying to? Yeah. I don't know. I just don't understand. And the only people who can help other people are the rich. Like,
yeah,
I don't understand. You still want help?
Yeah, you can't help. Though,
yeah,
because you've got to rent. I presume
you bought a car, which is 1 year of your wage. Like, yeah. I don't understand.
Plus, whatever else the bank takes.
Yeah,
with the interest, and it's
madness to me. But I don't know. It's a good example of that, like Elon Musk idea of, oh, we can't like this person. No, I like him as a media personality.
And that was the other voice. And he says he's like 80% an engineer and a manufacturer. And then he sort of has to just do some business and social stuff. I mean, that's not what he is. He doesn't paint himself as this entrepreneur, like business magnate. You know,
I think it's pronounced entrepreneur.
That's better. It may as well be pronounced that way. And that was the other Vice article. Joe Rogan Experience is a safe space for bad morals or something like that. And then it said Elon Musk came out of the interview looking like a fun, ambitious, weed-smoking genius. Like, that's a bad thing? I mean, who wouldn't want to hang out with that person?
That's fucking weird.
I don't want to hang out with anyone who's angry at somebody for being those things.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Imagine if they heard unpleasant. Fuck. Ooh,
I hope they do. Because I mean, what are they going to say?
It would... I wouldn't want anything to... I was going to say, you know, that whole all press is good press, and it's true, but I wouldn't want Vice...
I'd rather avoid it, yeah.
Wouldn't want Vice looking at it just because the...
They're only coming from it from a... very predatory viewpoint. Yeah. They're just predators, like any.
And I don't like their sponsored people, like Action Bronson.
yeah.
was a sponsored one. Like they just go, oh, this artist is doing this thing. And it's like, oh, really? So now suddenly, and then 6 months later, that artist is doing like a show for them and like this whole, is like part of their team. And you go, oh, okay, this isn't.
Doing interviews for them.
Yeah, this you're just, you've just found a person and you're trying to leech off of their thing.
Yeah.
And these people are desperate, so they go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
I had this discussion with someone the other day about how weird, like if you tell somebody involved in anything remotely creative, they go, oh, you must know X, this person. They just expect everyone to be involved in the local art community. And I can't tell you a group of people who I'd be less interested in hanging out with socially than the local art community. Fuck. Unbelievable. And they just expect it. And I go, why would you be hanging out with people who are essentially they're your competitors, number one. But you're just going to like have similar ideas. You're going to be like talking about things. Why do that? And then everyone sits around and when somebody makes it and gets successful, they all pretend that they're happy for them, but they're really jealous.
Hide it, yeah.
Fuck off. And like, that's it. They're not plugged into reality. Like, unless you're hanging out with regular people who work regular jobs, if you're just hanging out with art people, what are you doing? What ideas are you presenting? Okay, so you're presenting creative ideas to creative people for creative people. Okay, that sounds very isolating.
Yeah. What's the worst? I mean, how do you even get productive feedback and criticism and stuff?
Exactly.
It's impossible, isn't it?
1984 and Animal Farm are two of the most read books in history, and the part and most acceptable, sorry, acceptable, approachable as anything in the literary world, because Orwell was a genius who knew how to present ideas to regular people. And that's how you write. If you're in that little pocket, in that little community, that's fucking weird. You're not going to know what normal people are going to respond to.
Yeah, exactly. And that was because of his lived experiences.
Yeah.
Traveling, writing, joining the police force in
Burma,
that's right, yeah. I mean,
watching a few chinks get tortured over there. Loved it. Nah, not a fan.
Loved writing about
Turned around and just went, nah, fuck this. imperialism is not the way for us.
And he did the research.
Yeah.
God bless George Orwell.
But that's it. There's a guy who has an experience and lived it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll definitely respect that.
And was also a normal person who could.
Yeah.
Who understood his vocation, which is writing. That is a vocation if you're that good at it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Like, and we've got a friend of ours who's himself is a war vet, and like we have discussions about conflict and things like that on a big scale, and generally my stance is that at a certain point it's needed, but that's just, you know, that's me as a fucking 26-year-old
who's never been in combat.
Exactly.
And I'm never will have to.
I'm just talking about that. But he is coming at it from a lived experience. So he's got that behind his stance. But, you know, it's like, what am I meant to do? Am I meant to go, oh, this is what this guy says, so I agree with that? And I just go, no, well, like, he has more, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say, though? It's good to have both. I can accept that mine is the accumulation of, you know, 26 years doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
And his is of, you know, 30 years of
having done that at some point for a period of his life.
Exactly. He's looked inside that. So that's well worth paying attention to.
But he's going to have things that influence his decision, same way you are, that really don't, they don't cross over. Do they?
Yeah.
He's going to have experiences that you just literally couldn't have an opinion on, and vice versa.
Yeah, well, that's it. You can just go, oh, yeah, all I can do is hear it. I can hear what that was.
No one, you're not wrong.
But it's like that, we started the show talking about the Elon Musk thing and that thing about him smoking weed and testing his employees and stuff.
Mm.
And it's like, all right, well, if that's your stance, why aren't you then going, all right, let's make this happen? You're now making him an enemy. By chastising him, rather than going, hey, let's get together and figure out a way to make this better for your employees. Like, this is, we know this is fine. So how about we work on that? We get together and we figure out some sort of deal that we could, if we'd read Art of the Deal, we might be able to make some sort of deal that would make things
Joe Rogan better. Should have asked him.
Maybe.
Someone should have said, he wouldn't be reading. Nah. Like I said, he's not reading things like that. On the show anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he would have asked, why do you drug test your employees? Yeah. And I think his answer would have been, because we have to. Yeah. Because
regulations, working with heavy machinery, that kind of thing.
Yeah, imagine the risk. So this person in the toxicology report, he died in your factory. He was on drugs.
Yeah.
It was in his blood. Oh, we didn't know. Yeah. Why? When were they last tested? Man, they don't get tested.
And that's...
Right.
And you can't blame... Like, I'm very much a... I get really frustrated at safety procedures and the way things have to be done. In it. It's just so fucking slow. Oh, you got to make sure you wear this reflective thing before you go.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Just let me do my thing. Just let me do it. It's fine. Just shut up.
Mm.
I'm very much on that side. But I've got a friend who was like that, but he's now moved up. The corporate world. Yep. So he's now like project managing that kind of shit. So he's running things with, you know, teams of guys, and he's got to go through safety things. And he's like, it's fucked, man. It's fucked up. He's like, I know what it's like to be on the ground, but he's just like, if one person gets injured on this,
I am
fucked.
It's over.
And if this project fails because one person gets injured, then I don't get another one. Yeah. I don't get a chance to do this again. He's like, that's why all this stuff is here. I'm like, It sucks when there is so many people involved.
Yeah.
Because that company exists within that state. And so that state is technically involved in it. So there's just more people. So you just don't... It just is. It is the way it is.
If you want large-scale operations,
then
that is the way it is. Correct.
It's so fucked up.
And that's why we drug test here at Adam & Milk.
Yeah, we make sure we're clean, except for heroin and ice.
So that's it's just a simple piss sample before each show. We test each other's. Obviously, orally? It'll be. Oh, come on, mate. That's cheap.
I've got one more to throw into the mix. Ron Perlman. We haven't had a visit from him for a while. Doing some fucking weird shit on Twitter as usual. He's got a photo of Michelle Obama and George Bush like hugging, like in an embrace, where Bush's eyes are closed, and he just says, heaven on earth, and then like the ellipses, like three dots after that.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Heaven on earth.
Heaven on earth.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was looking at it just humming Ebony and Ivory. This is it. This is what we're after.
What the fuck are you doing?
Michelle would have been comfortable being hugged by George Bush too, I'm sure.
George Bush was the guy who had... what was it? It was congratulations, we made it, or victory. He had the victory banner up on that boat.
Yeah.
In like 2004, whatever it was, when the war still went on. Yeah. He's the guy who was so many deaths in the Middle East responsible.
Yeah.
Ultimately was on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And you just go, oh, heaven on, what the fuck are you talking about?
Just ignore all of that stuff.
Just because for Ron, no reason,
he needs help.
He does.
Ron Perlman needs help.
He really does. He needs a jaw shaven down a little bit, and then some psychiatric assistance.
Yeah, I think it's the jaw that gives him the confidence. If we hack half that jaw off, maybe he'll start to wake up.
Like a real good, like from the back.
Yeah.
Bring it forward.
Remove it completely.
I can't remember what film it was, but somebody maybe it was A History of Violence. Somebody got shot through the face, and there was a jaw like hanging out. It's one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. But Ron Perlman, let us know
if you need that to happen.
Ronald. All right. Thanks for listening. And before we go, I'd just like to say cunt, nigger, faggot, kike, Jew, nigger, cunt. Titties.